What's up, everyone? Welcome to the week 16 edition of the Rooftop Sports Podcast.
Yo, I am Eddie
Zimaitis alongside Mr. Chris Hand, who is extra frosty tonight.
Oh, very frosty tonight. It was a rough weekend, but it's all right with my Giants officially out of the playoff race. Woohoo! Embrace the tank, but yes.
Yeah, it's been a long couple of weeks for us, I think, with moving, car accidents, life, work is just a little crazy too for me. I'm pretty sure it's crazy for you. You got year end stuff going on, so a lot of fun stuff going on in life. But hey, that's why we're here, to talk about some sports. You got to get away from it, and yeah, Chris, you had a little fun tonight so far.
I did. Checked out a new brewery in town. Well, newish to me, but it's pretty cool, you know, going out, having some fun, you know, having a little cold one with the boys and just drinking it up and enjoying. And
how many cold ones in are we?
Can you put a number on cold ones? If you were to, maybe five.
There we go.
But we digress. Exactly.
So we are getting into the last couple of weeks of the NFL season. Before we jump into that, you mentioned some NBA stuff that I wanted to kind of touch on real quick. The landscape of the NBA right now is a little funky, I think. It's usually one of those – the NBA is always kind of notorious for being a little top-heavy. And I think right now – we were talking right before this, Denver is in first place in the Western Conference. And
Denver is first. I mean, they're only like a half a game up of Golden State, but still, it's Denver. I mean, who saw
a couple weeks ago with the Clippers?
On it. It was. It really was. And now they're sitting at six, at 17 and 13. I mean, it's just the NBA. This is why I love the NBA. We all came into the season knowing what was going to happen. And it was like the Titanic, you know, the ship was going to go down, but
how is it going to happen?
I mean, coming into exactly. You don't ever know. I mean, at this point right now, we're coming into Christmas. I mean, there's a couple significant points in the NBA season. It's the Christmas kind of little bit break and All-Star break are the two big ones. So once you hit those Christmas games, like you're seeing, all right, who's going on? All right, let's see. Denver at first, Oklahoma City sitting at three. Who else do we got in the East? Indiana sitting at the three seed. You know, Charlotte's in here. Detroit, Orlando. Like, it's fantastic to see the NBA kind of be switched up right now.
Yeah, and usually the Christmas Day games is when I start to kind of start switching out of football mode and into NBA basketball mode.
Right.
I'm excited for next week's games. I think they'll be interesting, to say the least. It's just funny that – you know, the big matchup for the past couple of years on Christmas Day has always been the rematch of the NBA Finals. And
right.
this year, we are not. And thank God, because nobody would want to see the Warriors and the Cavs play. But instead, we're getting the Cavs or the Lakers and the Warriors. So basically, they just put LeBron on the TV in the prime spot. But
correct me if I'm wrong, but I also believe another Christmas game is a big game in the East. We got 76ers.
Yes, Celtics. We do.
That is going to be a good one.
It's actually a pretty solid day of Christmas games. I remember you always get the Knicks at the first game at Madison Square Garden, so I know probably is a good way for you to wake up on Christmas Day.
Very much. 12 p.m.
I'll be there. They got the Bucks, so it's going to be tough. Tough game for you guys. Then you go to the Thunder and Rockets at 3 o'clock. And then after that is that matchup you mentioned for the East, 76ers and Celtics. And we got the Lakers and Warriors. And then I'm not sure how many people are going to stay up and watch the Trailblazers and the Jazz, but that is available for you degenerates out there that love the NBA.
Well, honestly, that should be a good game, because we're going to get deep into two basketball teams that we don't care about. At least I am. Trailblazers has probably one of the best backcourts I've ever seen, with McCollum and what's his name?
Damian Lillard.
Yeah, Lillard. Those two have probably one of the best backcourts and has surrounded themselves with a good supporting cast. The Jazz play one of the best defenses with Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, all-star breaking year out last year, which just is incredible. and with Rubio in there too. It's going to be interesting to see. That is actually what I actually would think would be the best game out of the all lineups. Well, second to best probably against 76ers and Celtics.
Yeah.
I can't trust the Lakers right now. If you have Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee, I'm just...
Yeah, woof. I mean, they're going to get a couple wins here and there, but in terms of being a real contender, I don't think they're going to be there this year. But one of the rumors going around right now is LeBron kind of saying, hey, I'd love to see Anthony Davis here in L.A. You think it's going to happen? Well, first of all, let's talk about actually, yeah. Do you think it's going to happen? Do you think Anthony Davis will go to L.A.? I also saw a report that the Celtics have had their eyes on him for years now. Do you think it's possible he goes to L.A. or Boston? What do you think is going to happen with him?
See, it's weird because I've heard from multiple sources that Anthony Davis's camp. Not from me. I have my sources. I have my sources, a.k.a. maybe ESPN in the morning. But either way. from what people have been saying online and stuff like that, on Instagram, ESPN, Fox, wherever you want to get your sports information from, Anthony Davis wants to stay in New Orleans, and he kind of wants to build the super team around him, a little bit like how Devin Booker said, hey, all free agents come to Phoenix, even though that's fucking ridiculous at the start that they're doing right now. But if New Orleans actually wants to do this right, they do trade Anthony Davis, because I can't see him staying there if they don't get him any help. And it's tough to it's really going to be tough to do that because they're not set up for that.
Yeah.
And it would just make so much sense if they can get a three-team trade situation with L.A. or Boston. I know GM LeBron is trying to make everything in his power to get him. I don't know. I mean, you're going to have to lose like a Brandon Ingram, maybe like Alonzo Ball, to get Anthony Davis from New Orleans if it was in any deal, in any situation. But I honestly think I can see that happening.
Yeah.
It's probably going to happen a little bit close to the trade deadline, but it's just like Pelicans are going to fall more and more out of it. They're going to lose games to hell. They lost to my Knicks when I was out there watching that game. But I honestly say, because if you see them right now, they're sitting at 15 and 16, like four out in the eighth seed.
Yeah, I think that I feel like they would have traded him by now. If they, over the past couple of years, it's always been a rumor, oh, Anthony Davis might get traded. Anthony Davis might get traded. All right, well, why is he still in New Orleans? Clearly,
I think it's that
he has some sort of attachment to it there. I think he wants to stay there, like you said. But why would New Orleans get rid of him? I don't understand it. Like, what's the point?
Why would they? I mean,
you're gonna get.
I don't
want to
say they're like wasting his prime.
You're gonna get a bunch of average players back, some young guys like Brandon Ingram that you mentioned, who's never going to be on the level of Anthony Davis. So you're going to get some draft picks and Brandon Ingram. That's not going to equal out to Anthony Davis.
No, and it's not. And to be honest, you have the centerpiece of Anthony Davis, so that should attract more free agents and stuff like that. But the thing is, they're not going out there and getting those free agents, or they're not, I don't want to say they're not putting their best foot forward, but it's just, I don't know. It's not like they're like a Toronto where, I mean, if you look at Toronto right now, they have two kind of superstars, or they did before. They do now, and they did with DeMar and Kyle, but they also stacked their bench with just, they have so much depth and rotation and things like that.
Yeah.
New Orleans, it's not doing that. I mean, that's a good way of either building up assets to go trade and get those superstars and those one piece away players, or I mean, they're not doing anything to acquire that.
Yeah,
and if you know that, well, they don't know, but I mean, if you get a sense that, you know, Anthony Davis is like trying to get away a little bit, or just trying to like, I really don't know, even though a lot of reports, not my sources, sources from other people, I mean, it's kind of like the Belichick theory. You trade while you have your value,
yes.
one year ahead, then 1 year behind.
Yep. Okay. So that, I mean, that makes sense. And if you're going to, when you break it down like that with the Belichick theory, that does make a lot more sense, because they're probably not going to win a championship there unless you were to get other people to come to New Orleans, which I don't think. I mean, New Orleans is a fun city, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it's like a hotbed for free agent destinations. So,
no, it's not.
Yeah, I just think that is it's going to be interesting to see where he goes. And if he does get moved, that would be awesome. I think it'll be good for the NBA. I hope it's not Boston. I kind of hate the Celtics.
Boston. You know my opinion. Yeah, on
you and me, we kind of share the same opinion on Boston. It's a fun city.
Fuck, but Boston.
Every single fan that runs around that place, I just can't stand. So,
swear to God, if I listen to one more person saying I lost my khakis in my khakis, I'm gonna fucking lose my mind. Yeah. I'm just a New Yorker.
Exactly. Yeah, we got some New York. Even though I'm fake New York, I'm upstate, but.
No, you still count. Yeah, same area.
Exactly. We get the NY at the end of our address. So,
exactly.
All right. So now we will kind of switch gears, get over into some college football now that we talked about.
Bowl season
is here. I am currently just sitting here with the TV on mute with the Frisco Bowl. So they are stretching this year. I think I saw like the Red Box Bowl is one this year. So they're coming up with all sorts of fun names for these bowls now, random teams popping up here and there. But, yeah, so we got Ohio and San Diego State battling out in this one. What we wanted to talk about, though, is we got some players that are skipping out some bowl games, and they are doing it. Like, before, I remember off the top of my head, like, Leonard Fournette was one, Christian McCaffrey.
Right. It was another one.
Those guys – they all skipped their bowl game and were getting kind of like, I'm grumpy old guy that, you know, you got to play for your team, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And then we see Jalen Smith, who goes out there, plays in his bowl game against Ohio State, just destroys his knee, and he falls into the second round of the draft from being potentially probably a top 5 to 10 pick, which is where he was going to go. So, I mean, he played in a meaningless bowl game, ruptures his ACL, sits out a whole year because of it, and loses millions of dollars because he falls to the second round instead of going first round. So before I get to my opinion on it, what do you feel? Do you think it's okay that these guys sit out, or do you think, you know, they should stick it out with their team and play in the bowl game?
I'm all about, I mean, get your money.
Yes.
Get your money. And they, these colleges are making millions off of you. You don't owe them nothing. They gave you a free education, even though you didn't stay for the full education because you had an eligibility to go and get your money. But no, I mean, if you're playing in one of these meaningless bowl games, then fuck it. There's no point in playing.
Yeah.
Maybe like why risk the injury?
Mm-hmm.
Why go out there for something that doesn't mean anything, especially with the playoffs that has been introduced, then it's really nothing. If we're talking about like, you know, like you're at Clemson and you're going to get drafted, you know, like you're a defensive tackle, top rated, you know, you're going to go, I'm not going to say like top 10. I'm going to say like 10 through 20. You know, one of those teams are going to get you. Do you risk playing Notre Dame? In that semifinals? That's an interesting.
I think if you're in the Final Four, yes, I would play. If you have a chance to win a national championship or maybe like a Rose Bowl or a super, you know, not a very big, well-known game, I would probably play in that. Just for the experience, you know, to say you played in a Rose Bowl or to say, 30, 40 years from now when you got grandkids, like, yeah, you know, I played in that New Year's Day bowl game, the Citrus Bowl, wherever the hell you're going. I think that's a good experience. You know, maybe if you've already played in like two of them and you're like, yeah, I already done this, been there, done that, might not be the same thing. So they maybe jump ship a little bit. So I think it depends on the school. But if you're playing in the you know, San Diego Credit Union Bowl and you're a potential first round pick, even if you're not a potential first round pick, you're like a second to third round pick.
That's probably even
more, because then let's say I'm a second to third round pick. I tear my ACL. Now I go from being a second to third round pick to going, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh, maybe even undrafted, because I can't work out. Teams can't find out about me. So I fully support these guys. I think they should do it. I think more of them should do it. And we're seeing it more this year. More and more. And there's just random guys that you see pop up on Twitter now. It's like, yep, so-and-so sitting out of their bowl game. So-and-so sitting out of their bowl game. And good for them. They should. I don't think they should be wasting their knee getting torn apart, or, you know, some guy who's going to be working at Enterprise next year, you know, trying to clobber him and give him a serious injury by diving at their knees or something like that. So, yeah, no, don't waste it. Don't worry about the guy who's going to be, you know, selling insurance next year, diving at your knees, because you got a career ahead of you. You've already given everything you need to the school. Like you mentioned, they're not going to pay you for it. So they're making millions off you. Go make millions for yourself now.
Exactly. I mean, you got to understand, and that's a big thing. You invest. I mean, to be honest, like if you're like a top NFL talent, then that means you invested all of high school and all of your college and most of your, you know, teenage life into young adulthood to become to this level of asset. Like, this is your bread and butter. This is how you're going to make money for the rest of your life. Like, this is where you go make your millions. And like, because we talked about before how the life expectancy of an average NFL player is much shorter than, you know, your superstars or, you know, your kickers or your quarterbacks or punters or whatnot. You know, you only got like a couple years to make your money, and then you got to figure out what's left. I mean,
get it while you can.
It's always on the players, because it's at the end of the day, it's your body that you're sacrificing for this. And that's what you got to do.
Yeah, and I think you can make the case for every single player that's eligible for the draft, because the first round is where guys are going to make their money. That's where like millions are handed out. You get your big signing bonuses, all that stuff. Once you get to like, you know, I'd say, you know, out of the top 10 of the second round, so like probably once you get through the first 40 picks of the draft, everybody's pretty much paid the same, but at the same time, you also stand to lose a lot more ground, because if I'm a second or third round pick, like I mentioned, I could go from second to third round to undrafted because I got my knee busted. Whereas if I'm also going to, so I'm not going to lose millions and millions of dollars, but I'm also going to lose the investment of the team in me, because you see those teams where, like, let's say you invested a second or third round pick in a player, you're more likely to give them more chances than you are a guy you drafted in the sixth or seventh round. You don't want to lose your opportunity that way. The money probably won't be that big of a drop off if you go from rounds two and three down to like round six. It's not going to be too big of a difference. The big difference in terms of money is going to be when you go from being a top 10 pick to, you know, the 45th pick in the draft. Then you're losing tens of millions of dollars, probably some sponsorship money, things like that. So that's where you lose some money.
I'll even throw this one at you. I mean, I'll throw an example at Landon Collins, Giants strong safety right now. Third time Pro Bowl selection, by the way. He's getting franchise tag, and he was their second round pick. He's like a top 10 caliber player, and from Alabama. Don't know if he played and got injured or whatnot, but somehow he dropped into the second round. All right, fine. But because he's getting that franchise tender right now from the Giants, because they, in that same draft, well, I think it was Eric Flowers in that year, but the year before they drafted Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
So Odell is getting, got this massive contract, but because Landon Collins is not on the same first year deal and whatnot, they're going to franchise tender him. So because of the way the contracts are all first, second, and third round, you know, your likely valued assets in your second or third round, even though they're probably first round talents, you know, you run that risk of dropping down. And now even to longer down the road at the professional level, you're not getting paid. You're getting this franchise tender because your value is so high, but because you didn't go in the first round. Now, that could have been because of injury, whatnot, or just, you know, there were much better strong safeties.
Well, I will counter you and say the fact that he was drafted in the second round can benefit him a little bit because now he's eligible for free agency a year earlier. Because first round picks,
that is true.
They have 5-year contracts or 4 with the team option of a 5th year. So they can sign, the team can have him for 5 years and if they wanted to. Whereas since he was drafted in the second round, it's only a 4-year contract. As soon as he hits 4 years, boom, he's eligible for free agency. So, I mean, it actually will kind of benefit him there. But I get what you're saying where, you know, dude hasn't made any money yet because he was drafted so low. And now you're just going to kind of hold him by the balls for 2 more years because you got the franchise tag like the Steelers did with Le'Veon Bell. So,
right.
And that's why Le'Veon sat out because he didn't want to risk getting hurt. So, kudos to the players, man. They need to be more like this. And I think I think actually now it's kind of sucks for us as fans, but I think now you're seeing more and more players take a stand and kind of risk. I wouldn't say risk because they're not less risking their bodies or anything, but they're taking a stand to hold out, make sure they get their money, and, you know, sacrifice some money to get more money in the long run, which is what you have to do in order to get paid like the NBA players are. I mean, they have a little bit more leeway because of the numbers game where there's obviously less NBA players on a team, but the NFL Players Association is just so weak and they cave into the owner's demands on every collective bargaining agreement, which is why the owners just have them by the balls on every single negotiation. So I hope that they stick it out. We're probably going to get a holdout in a couple of years. I think the CBA is up in 2 years. So,
yeah.
Might be sucks for us for a little bit, but hopefully they can get a deal done. I highly doubt it because the players are going to want some more money. And
they're going to want a ton.
Yeah, especially with all the NBA contracts now and how those guys get paid. Whew, these guys are going to want a ton of money.
Well, it's interesting too because the NBA also got this massive TV deal and things like that. So it's interesting to see, but I don't know.
So,
like you said, the numbers game alone,
yeah,
is just different.
This actually because we're talking about college players and sticking it out or them sitting out of the games, and you and I both agree we think that's the right deal because they should, you know, get their money while they can. This also brings up another point. Are you in favor of college athletes? We'll stick with college football for right now. Are you in favor of college football athletes getting paid at all? Or you could say all college athletes.
I would say, because it's tough because you and I went to like a D3 school. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't believe D3 should get paid, but I mean like at D1 level, Yeah, I do. Or maybe like at a different level of a stipend or something with their scholarship. Like, don't force these kids to like go to, don't stop saying that it's a free education. You know what I mean? Either pay the kids or just give them like some level of incentive. Give them free food or, you know, clothes or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, there should be a tangible cost. Or hell, I'll even say this. You should allow top level kids sell memorabilia. if it's autographs or whatnot
you.
Like that.
Thank you. Yes.
I am 100% okay with that.
Yes.
It's them.
I agree, because the school's making money off their name. Why can't the player making the money off their own
exactly.
name? How messed up is that? Like,
it's so fucked like, up.
Perfect example. Texas A&M can sell all sorts of Johnny Manziel memorabilia pictures, Heisman photos, and jerseys, all sorts of Johnny Manziel stuff when he's, you know, coming back to school. But Johnny Manziel can't sign a couple autographs to make 10 G's for a memorabilia store.
No, it's
yeah. Dumb. So you're going to punish him for that, but the school can make all sorts of money off of him. Doesn't make sense. So I am
this is like
complete agreement with that.
I mean, look at what's going on with Duke and Zion right now. Zion fucking highlights are being plastered on Instagram, run through the fucking car wash of the ESPN and Fox and CBS and NBC. I mean, he's a freak of nature. Is he going to make a dime on any of that? No. Is he going to get an education?
No. He's going to be there for a semester.
He's going to be there, not even a full fucking year, and he's going to get drafted in April, at the end of April, or whenever the draft is, the end of May.
Exactly.
Like,
he's just got to survive until April. That's all he's got to do, and make sure he doesn't flunk out of school. But the school's going to make millions off of him.
Exactly. Duke is selling out, probably, and things like that. Like,
yes.
Are you kidding me?
So I don't think we should, like Ohio State, say, yeah, you know, we're not going to turn high school recruiting into a free agency bidding war. That's not something I could do. I would probably be okay with them offering, like, you know, a flat dollar amount to every single college athlete out there, but that's just not fiscally possible, because, you know, Citadel has to go and get paid $900,000 by Alabama to get destroyed by 52 points every year because they need to be able to pay for their volleyball program. So that's the only reason that half of these schools are around, is because they go have their football team show up at, you know, Ohio State for a week, have Ohio State beat the living hell out of them by 52 points, just so that school can get the $900,000 that they need, and just to make the other programs viable. So there's no way that those schools like that would ever be able to exist and function on a D1 level. So in terms of that, I don't think they should pay players, but I think players should be able to make money off of their image without having any repercussions from the NCAA. Like you mentioned,
exactly.
We both talked about sports memorabilia, signing autographs, let some kid go make 10 grand to sign some autographs, car dealerships, let them appear in a commercial to sell some RVs. Who gives a shit? If they're going to sell that, go for it. Boom. Make
appearance fee.
Yeah.
You know, there's tons that these young adult athletes can do. And to be honest, I'll even throw this at you. If you teach these kids at a younger age about the importance of money and finance, because through this through selling memorabilia, through commercial car dealerships and things like that, tangible things that they can apply later on in life, maybe you won't see as many athletes going broke.
Yes, and I think actually now, because I don't know if the social media age and Gary Vee and all those guys, it's almost becoming cool to be smart with your money and like investing. You see, Kobe Bryant wants to be the next Magic Johnson. I think Magic Johnson's actually the pioneer of all this. But you see all these guys, instead of, you know, going to the club and spending $50,000 a night on, you know, hookers and blow, you're going to have your players be like, you know what? I got my financial advisor saying, you know, I should only be spending, you know, $5,000, you know, a month here.
Listen,
I think Magic Johnson I think the first one that really became successful. John Elway, I think he had some car dealerships he got into, but I think being like a
Peyton Manning, Michael Jordan, you can throw in
being
there.
Like these kind of financial gurus with your money makes you look even cooler when you have that kind of stuff. So I think we're kind of seeing that transition for these players, instead of going out to the club every night and blowing it.
Well, I mean, not all of us can be James Harden, but
yeah. Is that what he does?
Well, you see, like, oh my God. I mean, if the things that I hear about James Harden, he's always at the fucking club, like before games, after games, during games. I don't know.
I heard Klay Thompson's pretty bad too.
I haven't heard. It's hard for me to grasp that just because he just seems so reserved and quiet. Yeah. But I don't doubt it. If I'm a Golden State Warrior, I'm letting everyone know in the club that I'm a Golden State Warrior. But
I heard he's like the biggest playboy in the NBA. TMZ caught him one time. I don't know if you follow TMZ on Twitter, but like sometimes their videos will come across. They're like a minute long, and they'll just all be chatting around their cubicles or whatever. They got cameras there. And I just remember they're like, yeah, we got video of Klay Thompson coming out of Club XX or whatever. I don't know what club it was. They're like, yeah, you got three girls with them going home, getting ready. We caught up with them. You know, Klay's one of the more notorious playboys in the NBA. Always got new girls every night. And, yeah, when you think of, like, guys like that, you'd not picture Klay Thompson being at the top of that list. No,
I don't. I really don't. I mean, well, if you look at it, look at that team. You have Steph Curry, the married dad one already.
Yeah.
Draymond Green is just too intense and just like, I got to think about the next game. He's like the whole kind of like player coach, like watching tape until midnight kind of thing, no life thing. And then you got Kevin Durant, who's just awkward as fuck and just is too busy just fighting kids on Xbox Instagram, Live. On Xbox Live, telling kids, no, my mom's not there. How dare you say things about that? It's just like, it's come on, good.
Yeah.
It's come on. Just like, really?
Got his burner accounts but ready to go.
Nah, but yeah, but I want to digress a little bit and go back to like, players and being smart with their money. I mean, if you take a little bit of examples of, you know, Peyton Manning, when he moved over to Denver, bought like every single Papa John's
right before they legalized
before they legalized the electric lettuce, the devil's lettuce, whatever you want to fucking call it. That was a smart financial move.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you have Michael Jordan, who's an owner of a professional basketball team or part owner or whatnot. You have now Derek Jeter, who's like a part owner of the Miami Marlins. I mean, it is the way of nobody's really flexing their Gucci flip-flops or what their Lambos are driving or whatnot. It's all about, you know, a lot of these all superstar athletes wants to continue to be relevant in the field that they're at. So the next level is owner or GM or some level at that capacity.
Yeah, they want some power.
And what's really going to be interesting is when LeBron James hangs up the coat for the basketball and where he goes on.
I'm pretty sure he already owns like a soccer, like part of Arsenal or Liverpool in the EPL. I don't know if he's not like a big owner of, but I think he's like a part owner,
like a minority owner or something like that. But it's going to be interesting to see. I think I can see him owning the Cavs or something.
Oh, buying from Dan Gilbert, he'd love nothing more than to stick it to him.
I mean, James Dolan said he'll sell the Knicks if the bid's high. I'm like, LeBron, New York's calling. Yeah. You want ownership and still play in the league? I mean, New York, fuck it.
Steve Ballmer bought the Clippers for $2 billion, and now they're saying that that's worth like $3 billion. There's no way very many people can afford the Knicks because the Knicks will be close to $4 or $5 billion.
Oh no, yeah, they're at least $5 billion, just being in New York alone in that high of a market.
So that's going to be a tough sell because there's not going to be very many people out there. And I think the NBA is kind of at its peak right now. So I don't know you're kind of buying high on the Knicks if they were to sell right now, which is good for, I mean, James Dolan is smart. If you want to sell, sell right now, because it's, you know, it's a good time to be a seller for these guys. So
listen, as a Knicks fan, I would love it if James Dolan is not my owner anymore, but yes.
Yeah. Get that guy
sell,
out of there.
Sell.
Yeah. I think it would be a good idea for all Knicks fans to get rid of him, because nobody likes him. But good for the NBA too. So,
oh yeah.
Okay, so we talked about some college athletes and them skipping out on some bowl games. Now we're going to go to the pros and kind of see the same thing. Got NFL action. Cam Newton getting shut down for the rest of the season. Now they are officially out of playoff contention. We've mentioned this a bunch of times. My wife's a big Saints fan. We were watching a game on Monday night, and we were just noticing, like, Cam, he did not look right. He could not throw the ball.
No, he did not.
Down the field at all. Didn't really complete very many passes to wide receivers. Christian McCaffrey was getting a lot of completions out of the backfield, so I'm sure fantasy owners of his were pretty happy. but, yeah, they shut him down for the rest of the season. Now they're out of playoff contention. There's talk of Aaron Rodgers doing the same thing and him missing this week's game against the Jets, and then probably going to shut him down for the rest of the season. How are you in favor of this? Are you okay with it? I know both of you and me have talked about tanking in the past and our thoughts on that. So, you okay with teams shutting down their star players like this and just kind of throwing them on IR to make sure they get healthy, and who really gives a crap about the last two games?
At this point, yeah. And not so much as the point of that it's tanking. As so much or more of at the end of the day, it is a business. And if these guys are your valued assets, why risk it? Mathematically, you're not there. Not to sit like rah rah, you know, we need to do the best to win the game. So I'll throw as a Giants fan, Odell Beckham Jr. I do not want to see him play for the rest of the year.
Yeah, why would you?
He already missed last. Why? He came off this season with a nasty ankle injury that sat him out all last year. Why would I want to see him play the final two games, knowing that we're out of the game? We're going up against the Colts and Cowboys. Yeah, maybe the Cowboys would stick it to them. No, fuck that. It's not worth it at all to see him out there. I mean, I mentally checked out. You saw a Snapchat or Instagram post of me at the gym on Sunday, and you're asking, "Hey, man, it's football season." I'm like, "I'm done." I watched one half of that game, and I'm like, "Nope, that's Giants football. It's the end of the season. Embrace it."
Exactly. Man. Yeah, I agree, man. When you have those high profile guys or the big name players, don't risk it, because the same reason that we talked about for the Bulls. If you're in this business to put the best team out there, compete, win, all that stuff, in order to do that, you need your best players. And in order for your best players to play, they need to be healthy. So God forbid, you know, any of these guys we just mentioned go out and rip up a knee, you know, get cracked and break an arm. Who knows? Alex Smith. Look at Alex Smith, for example.
Right.
What if that were to happen?
Oh, my God.
What if that were to happen to Cam Newton this past week, or Aaron Rodgers in week 16? Why? He doesn't need to be out there. Don't hurt him. It's not like he needs the reps for improving his game. They're fine.
No, you don't.
I'll treat him like preseason games. It's going to suck for the NFL. NFL's probably going to hate it. But, I just don't feel the need to go out there and have your guys get hurt.
No, but that's how it is. Like, you know, that's something that you're not going to be able to change. No matter where you are, if you're going to have players playing and like you know, mathematically you're not in it. All right. So be it. I mean, as a fan, I'm like, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
I know my team's not in. I don't care. And the NFL's got to realize that a little bit. Like, and it sucks because the NFL's like, well, I want you to be interested. I want you to sit at your TV and watch my game and then watch my advertisement because that's how I make money. And it's just like, yeah, but I mean, that's how it is. And God, so many people will rip me because you're not a true fan and whatnot. And it's like, I really don't care. I'm smart enough to know that this is not how it is. If I want to watch, you know, actually good, you know, other teams play, so be it. And I will. If I'm a fan of the sport, I'll go out and watch, you know, the Texans versus Chargers, if that's ever a game or whatnot. But like, if I'm a fan of the sport, I'm going to make my way out there to watch those high profile games, not just pass my team,
yeah.
But because sports is so localized and it's kind of a thing. It's like, it's kind of funny. It's like, you don't get to choose what sports teams you root for at the end of the day. You're kind of born into it.
Yeah, you are. It's like one of those things where you know, kind of like, yeah, I kind of like you. I think I like you. Okay, I love you. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're head over heels for that team. They're going to break your heart so many times. Mm-hmm. You still go back to them over and over. It's like a bad relationship, unless you're living in Boston and you're a spoiled little asshole. And you can...
I don't know. I mean, Boston's looking a little vulnerable.
Hey, I'm totally okay if they get vulnerable. I'm just saying...
I'm so excited.
If you're our generation, you grew up in all this crap, that's just... That's not cool. You don't deserve all that.
Yeah.
I would almost hate it. I love the fact that
Learns.
My teams have never won a championship with the Bills and Sabres. Not once.
No, learn
the most starved, deprived championship city in the United States is Buffalo. And yeah, we'll gladly hold that crown now that Cleveland has their championship. Yeah, we'll easily take over the mantle. So, hey, one day when we do win a championship, I hope I'm around to see it. I feel bad for all the people that walk around the t-shirts that say just one before I die, because there's a lot of people that have died and not have been able to see those championships. I just hope I'm not one of them and get to see at least one in my day, because it's going to make it all that much sweeter when you do see it.
Oh my God. I hope I'm still here, because I've been to Buffalo on St. Patrick's Day. Shit you not, that was probably one of the most wild weekends I've ever spent, and that was St. Patty's
imagine
Day.
What a Bills Sabres parade, championship parade would be like.
I can't even imagine what that parade down Main Street's gonna be like.
Yeah,
it's gonna be fun. Hell, even if they make it, if they win the AFC championship, like that parade, that pep rally parade into it,
man. It's gonna the be fact when we went, we made the playoffs last year, went down to Jacksonville and like destroyed that entire city with tables and bars and people just going nuts down there. We went to another city. We raided another city and trashed it.
Exactly.
Imagine what we're going to do to our own city. You thought Philly's parade last year was crazy.
Oh my God.
With people, them having to grease up the light poles. They're going to have to grease up buildings. Oh my God. For Buffalo.
Buffalo won't
stand.
No,
that place is going to burn down.
Oh, my
God.
It's going
to be fun. I can't wait to burn it down.
I can't wait. It's going to be a fucking hell of a time.
All right. So, yeah, we talked about it. We're okay with some players getting shut down here. I think it's a right move, smart for the team in the future.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Dude, you and I have been spot on from our August predictions. Boy, have we just kind of nailed it on the head.
Oh, you hell hit
the
Chiefs. Yeah.
That was your big team this year. We both nailed the Texans.
I had Chicago, right?
I did. I did not think they were going to be as good as they are this year. I thought they would just miss out on the playoffs. I thought they would go like 9-7. And then I think I had the Packers winning the division at like 11-5, 10-6. But I had the Bears were my sleeper team in the NFC. The Chargers and the Saints was my Super Bowl prediction. I am sticking to it.
It is looking nice.
And I'm just gonna stick it. I'm gonna ride it out till the end. So
why not?
Yeah, I have to. We still have that podcast, right? Did we record it on Anchor or did we record it on something else?
I honestly don't know. The files are somewhere because I do remember transferring over some files over onto Anchor. So.
I'm gonna have to go find. But I'm gonna go look at some of our old ones, and I'm gonna find it, and I'm gonna edit it. God. I'm gonna edit the snippet of where we did our Super Bowl predictions. And I'm gonna include it in one of these podcasts because we were so spot on. So what Chris and I did is we went through all six playoff teams in each playoff conference or in each conference, picked those six teams we were going to make it. And I think like the first two that we had that we're going to miss out. So when we do that, we're going to replay it in a couple, probably, maybe we'll do that next week since we're not going to record on Christmas. So if we don't record next week, then I'll release the snippet of our preseason predictions.
Oh, that's actually a really good. It'll probably be like
a 10-minute clip. That's all we'll do for the podcast if we don't record next week. If we do, I'll make sure it's included in next week's podcast for sure. Because, man, we looked into our crystal balls, and yeah, things just went pretty well for us. So now, what I want to do is we are pretty close to the end of the season. We are just wrapping up the divisions and who's going to get to the final spots. Let's talk about who we think is going to capture those last couple spots here. So got a couple divisions wrapped up here. Just going to go through the conferences. We'll start with the AFC. So first of all, the top two teams in the AFC just happen to be in the same division. Who do you think, first of all, is going to win the AFC West? Is it going to be the Chargers or is it going to be the Chiefs? And if you want, I will go through, I will tell you each of their last two games so that you can see. The Chargers, they play on Saturday. So the Chargers, they play the Ravens in Los Angeles on Saturday. And then their final game is against the Broncos. Chiefs, they're playing on Sunday Night Football, where they're going to play the Seahawks in Seattle this week, which is not easy.
Oh, no, that's not easy.
And then they follow up their last game at home against the Raiders. So that will probably be a win for them.
Let's scratch last week, the last week between the two, because I do believe the Chargers will throttle the Broncos and the Chiefs will destroy the Raiders. But Chiefs at Seattle is not an easy win. And I hit dark horse team out of the, AFC North is Baltimore? Yeah. Without Flacco and Lamar Jackson, their starting quarterback, that's not an easy win.
No, it is not. But it is home in L.A. I mean, home in quotation marks there.
Well, yeah. They're so fucking unfortunate for fucking San Diego. I feel so bad for that city. Sorry, a little tangent right here. But, I mean, your team finally gets good again. And then they leave you. Oh,
Kansas
God.
City has not That's looked good in their past couple of games. I just want to run through.
You lose Kareem Hunt.
Their last four games, lost to the Rams. We'll even go back a couple more. They played the Cardinals, and they just barely beat the Cardinals. They only won by like 12 in that game at home. Then they go to the Rams the following week in that crazy game on Monday Night Football. And the Rams beat them by 3. So they lost that one. Then they come off the bye against the Raiders and look like total crap in that game. And they still won, but they did not look good. Same thing against the Ravens. Went to overtime. Had a tough game against them. And then they lost last week against the Chargers. So they've showed a little vulnerability past couple weeks.
I'm going to say that Kansas City beats Seattle.
Kansas City beats Seattle? Okay.
Yeah. And LA gets a surprisingly upset by. I don't know what's going on with the Ravens, but I don't like betting against them right now. So I'm going to say just like. LA just found out they're sending a bunch of Pro Bowlers. They're kind of okay. We're at the spot they're at right now. So I'm going to say
Chiefs win the division.
Chiefs pull it out.
Okay. They do have the tiebreaker right now, it looks like. So even if both teams were to go 2-0 in their next few games, Chiefs would get the win for the division. So, all right, that means you have Kansas City as your number one seed. Number two seed, who would you have there? Currently, it is the Houston Texans at 10-4, followed by the Patriots at 9-5, and then the Steelers at 8-5-1. Who do you have as your second seed in the AFC?
I mean, it's hard to go against the Patriots, but Texans go up against the Eagles at Philly, and then home against the Texans. I think I have that right.
The Texans are the Texans.
I mean, Jaguars. Sorry, you can tell the Frosties have been getting to me a little bit. And New England is home against the Bills and home against the Dolphins. Patriots. I mean, Jets.
God, is it the Jets or is it the Dolphins? I think you're right on the Jets.
No, it's the Jets. Yeah, it's so the Jets. It's Bills, Jets. So two W's versus. No, I mean,
I think it'll be New England personally.
Just because
I think the Texans probably lose this week. I think they're going to lose one of these two games. I don't know if Jacksonville's going to play spoiler, maybe, but I think I actually like the Eagles this week. So I think, and I think New England owns a tiebreaker over them. So they'll probably both finish 11-5, and New England will probably get the second seed, which is,
you know what? I'm going to ride or die with the Houston right now. Ride or die with it. Houston is going to be my second seed.
So then you are going to go Houston as the second seed, and then New England as the third, probably, I'm guessing.
Yes.
I'm going to flip-flop those. I'm going to say Houston is number three, and New England's number two, and then I'm also going to say the Chargers are the number one seed, just as I predicted back in August, the Chargers, the number one seed in the AFC. And then, so we got the top three seeds figured out. Number four, you think Pittsburgh is going to win that division, or are we leaning back to the Dirty Birds and the Baltimore Ravens?
I think I have to say the Dirty Birds.
Okay.
I mean, they finish out against the Browns. I'm going to take the Dirty Birds. I mean, who else we got? Pittsburgh's just losing to the Saints. And then... No, I gotta go with Dirty Birds.
You're going with the Ravens. Okay. Yep. I
probably should stop calling them Dirty Birds, but
I think that this probably will be. Oh, man. I think it's gonna be tough because the Steelers are gonna lose this week. I think the Saints are gonna blow them out. And I think the Ravens are also gonna lose this week. So let me see who they both got for week 17. So the Ravens have the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. Or no, I'm sorry. That is in Baltimore.
No, at home.
That is in Baltimore. And I think the Ravens will win that. And then the Steelers have the Bengals at home. So, okay. So I think the Steelers are going to win it. And then I'd probably say, actually, I don't even know if the Ravens would finish as the fifth seed. Let me take a look.
Well, that's the thing, because you got the Colts knocking at the door with at the same record hosting the Giants.
Just put a little money on to win the Super Bowl, the Indianapolis Colts at 100-1. So let me take a look. Are we going?
Oh, we have so many teams in the hunt.
I feel like the Titans and the Colts play again. But let me take a look. Who plays in week 17?
They do.
Do they play week 17?
They do. Did they play week 17? Because if they tie and some other
the Browns
shit happens, the Browns make it to the playoffs.
Man. All right, so I'm going to go with the Colts as my fifth seed and the Ravens as my sixth seed.
Okay.
Who are you going? First, who do you think is going to win the AFC North? Is it going to be Pittsburgh? You said the Ravens. Actually, would the fifth seed be the Steelers for you, or are you going with the Colts as the fifth seed?
I'm going to go Colts.
And then the Steelers as the six seed.
The six, yeah. I think that tie is going to hurt them.
So then that means – oh, boy, we are all over the place then. All right, who do you got, who do you have coming out of the NFC then? So let's jump over there. Saints is number one seed, or you think somehow the Rams pull it out?
No, Saints number
one. Okay. Number two seed.
The Rams.
Going to be the Rams.
And then I'll say the Rams.
Three, going to be the Bears, obviously, then. Okay. Yeah. Do you think the...
I mean, it's got to be Dallas. It's got to be
Dallas going to win the AFC, or the NFC East.
The NFC East, I mean...
Who do the Cowboys play? Let me take a look. They play... Play the Bucks and the Giants. Oh, man. Giants. You know what? I would not be surprised if the Giants beat them week 17. Just to play.
Oh, they're going to. Spoilers. Yes.
The Cowboys' kryptonite is the Giants. Wow. And Philly has the at home against the Texans.
The tiebreaker.
They have the tiebreaker?
Yeah. I don't know if they have the tiebreaker. Hold on. I don't think they own the tiebreaker.
Hold on. I'm on Philly right now. But I can look. Lost to Dallas in Dallas. And they lost. Yeah, they lost both games against Dallas. They don't.
All right.
But still. Wow. Philly's probably going to win. Make it to the playoffs, man.
Well, they so a little bit going back onto sitting players and whatnot. Carson Wentz is sitting out for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So Big Dick Nick Foles is coming in to save the day.
I think the Vikings are going to win this week against the Lions, and then they play the Bears week 17. But I think the Bears are probably going to rest a lot of their guys week 17, so they'll probably win.
Right.
All right. So I think I kind of want to see Philly sneak in there. I know you hate the NFC East, but all right. So we're in agreement. First three seeds are going to be the Saints, Rams, Bears, Cowboys is probably going to be number four. You say that, yes?
Yeah, I mean, well, either way, I mean, it's going to – yeah, Cowboys.
Okay. All right, so –
yeah, I'm going to take the Cowboys.
All right, so we're both in agreement on the first four seeds. Who are your two wild cards coming out then? Do you have – is it going to be – I think Washington, they're not going to do it. They suck. They're bad. So they're in contention.
Oh yeah.
And so we really have three teams to pick. We got to pick two out of these three teams, Seattle, Minnesota, Philadelphia. Who do you got? Are the two teams in this three?
I'm going to go Minnesota and then
I think
Seattle.
I agree with you. I think it's just Philly just got too far behind the eight ball. They're not going to be able to kind of catch up and make the playoffs, but I think I agree. These two have good schedules the rest of the way.
They're also going to lose to the Texans and drop out.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. You think that if they lose to the Texans, then we...
I'm riding die on the Texans right now.
Okay. So we got our predictions for the playoffs done. We were going to talk about the MVP race, but we're getting a little long. So I think we'll save that for next week. And we'll also maybe do some Super Bowl or playoff predictions once everything starts to clear up. Okay, so let's jump into everybody's favorite segment. And I told you went 3-0 last week. I lied. I forgot. Woo-hoo! I forgot. I gave you a fourth game.
Oh, you bastard.
I should have just stuck with the three. It was the Patriots minus two against the Steelers.
Oh, that game never happened. I don't
know. No. So, all right. Let's jump into this week's edition of the High Roller Hand, and we'll give you three games that you can pick to keep that streak going.
Remember, I'm undefeated.
Never lost.
Never lost.
All right. So first game up, we're going to go to the Saturday games again. We talked about it a little bit here. We got the L.A. Chargers, the non-San Diego, against the Baltimore Ravens in Los Angeles. And the LA Chargers are 4.5-point favorites against the Ravens. Who do you got?
I'm going to say the Dirty Birds.
The Ravens.
I'm going to take it. I mean, I said it before. I got to stay consistent. I mean, L.A. doesn't really have a home team. Lamar Jackson, they're going to run the college-style offense. Let's see what happens.
Okay. All right. Next game is, and this is just because we're kind of close to home, and I'm interested to see your thoughts on this. The Buffalo Bills go to New England. 13-point underdogs. Are the Patriots going to win? Are the Patriots going to win by more than 13? Yes or no?
They really gave them 13
Hell
points.
Hell yeah. Then they're probably going to need every single one of them.
Oh, my God. I said it once last week, even though it fucked me over. Don't say it again this week. Never bet against Tom Brady.
Yeah, it's probably the best rule in all of sports gambling, actually.
Oh, I want to sneak this in here before I forget. Did you see Nathan Peterman was signed?
By the Raiders. I texted my buddy who's a Raiders fan, too. Right away, I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, guess what? You just signed Nathan Peterman. He's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like
Peterman.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no. Never bet against
and
Tom
always
Brady.
Against Nathan Peterman.
Oh, that is true.
Two ways to make money. We will simplify gambling for you. Bet against Nathan Peterman. Undefeated, never lost.
Never lost.
And bet on Tom Brady. Something that I have not done enough in my life. That I should have. He cashes at a 62% clip or something crazy. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah, it's insanely high. Because I think since like the year 2000, there's only been five teams that have cashed more than 50% of their bets, which is crazy because you wonder even how that's possible. And, yeah, Patriots are number one by a lot. So,
oh, hell yeah.
All right. Okay. So, first game I gave you, you said the Ravens plus the 4.5.
Ravens.
Third game I'm going to give you is down in Louisiana. Get some of that good seafood, Cajun food down there in the bayou. New Orleans is -6 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, do the Saints cover that spread, or do they not?
I don't know. They struggled this past Monday against Carolina.
They've struggled their past couple of games, but they are coming back to their safe haven, aka the Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
That is true. You know what? I'm betting on the jambalaya. Let's go Saints.
Saints. I like it. The jambalaya. Where did that come from?
I don't know.
Have you ever been to New Orleans?
No, I haven't. All right,
we're going to make that a trip because Gabby and I want to go back. And we want to bring some friends to go with us. So it is a fun city. It is a little sketchy in areas. Man, Bourbon Street, man, whew, you can just hit up every single bar and you get hammered real fast, real easy. Not that expensive, I don't think. Like, you can get some souvenir drinks for, I don't know, $10.
And hell yeah.
One or two of them and you're gone. You're on fluffy clouds. You're on the level you're on right now.
Hey, I'm there.
Are you spinning yet?
No, I'm laying down, but I ain't spinning.
I was going to say, it sounded like towards the end there, you're getting a little spinny. So I wanted to make sure everything.
No, we're good. I got work.
Everything's
tomorrow.
All good.
I got to be somewhat of a semi-professional.
Yeah, at times. We'll see.
It happens. But,
all right, so, yes, next week we'll upload that clip. We'll find it from the preseason predictions that we did so that everybody can see it. We'll post it. I don't know if we'll do a full pod next week. We'll see how the schedules kind of all map out. You're going home next week?
I leave this Friday back to Westchester, New York.
And from Rochester to Westchester.
Hey.
Okay, so, yeah, next week if we find some time, maybe on Wednesday, we'll figure it out. We'll whip something up. It'll be quick because we got to make sure we can throw that clip in there. So
exactly.
We'll do that. But yeah, we just hit a big milestone for our podcast, 1,000 listeners. So appreciate everybody tuning in, and hope you guys are enjoying it. This has been a lot of fun. So we'll keep it going. We got a lot more sports stuff to talk about.
So much more.
So
we haven't even hit March Madness.
Dude, we haven't even – we're like right in the middle of the prime sports season. Because exactly. It starts – I always say as soon as college football starts is when it starts getting crazy, and then all the way till the end of the NBA finals. So,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got 6 more months of this stuff left, like 6.5 actually. So long ways to go. But
awesome.
All right. Everybody, have a good Christmas, good holidays, all that
Feliz
stuff.
Feliz Navidad, happy New Year's, happy holidays.
Well, hopefully we'll be on before New Year's, but yeah.
I'm all that stuff. It now.
Yeah. People say happy New Year's to like February anyway nowadays, so.
Exactly.
It's you can say it earlier.
Boxing Day, Kwanzaa, Three Kings Day, whatever it is.
For sure.
Happy Hanukkah to all our Jewish listeners out there that happened in past, you know.
I was going to say, I think it passed, but any celebratory holidays that have come up, we wish you the best. And everybody, thanks for listening.
Find
us on iTunes, Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff. Definitely. We'll see you next time.
See you.
Toot.